At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
I've never been this nervous in my life.
Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Not all that glitters is gold. Half the story has never been told.
Because righteousness governs the world.
Come take a musical journey from the suburbs of Long Island to the ghettos of Kingston. A heartbreaking overdose. A disturbing discovery. The last chance to redeem a stolen legacy.
Broadcasting live and direct from the rolling red hills on the outskirts of Kingston, Jamaica. From a magical place at the intersection of words, sound, and power. The red light is on. Your dial is set. The frequency in tune to the Rootsland podcast. Stories that are music to your ears.
In the reggae anthem Get Up Stand Up, the Wailers sing, "Not all that glitters is gold. Half the story has never been told." My friend Brian always dreamed he could make the world a better place. Maybe by me telling his story, he still can.
Consequence Podcast Network presents Rootsland, Season 1, Reggae Junkie Joe.
Whole barrage of righteous people out there.
Because sometimes the story is the best song.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris, the list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you so much for checking out this episode, making your way to the series. Please hit the subscribe button if you're not already subscribed. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, brand new ones every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, discover some new ones, and know what's happening in the music world. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you like to get your podcasts from. And I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, I'm hanging out with Manchester Orchestra, Andy Hull and Robert Bingdahl, here to talk about the new record, The Million Masks of God. This record is a masterpiece of an album. They call it a continuation, kind of a spiritual continuation from their last album, A Black Mile to the Surface. So we're going to hear about the themes of exploring life through death, and then what comes after. It's some really interesting sort of mind experiments that go along with this. And it has some unfortunate real life inspiration after Robert's dad passed away a couple years ago. So Andy's going to detail us about the reconciliation that the character makes in his final moments and the relief that comes that I especially had once the album starts over. And then there's the musical side of it. I mean, the band has already proved that they can do this, but just what they're able to pull off in what's really kind of like a rock opera. It's a seamless piece that plays from front to back. It's a full through playthrough listen that happens here. So that was intentional. We're going to hear about how they explored the music and their process of giving in to even jamming, as well as what this might look like in the live version. They're kind of dreaming that up right now as well. So let's do this and discuss the record, The Million Masks of God. It's Kyle Meredith with Manchester Orchestra.
Hi.
Hello.
Pleasure to see you both. First off, congratulations. This is... it's a masterpiece of a record. And I think that's sort of what you guys are doing now, but this is a masterpiece of a record.
Man, thank you so much. I didn't know that you'd heard the whole thing. That's awesome. Yeah, we took a real long time working on it. We actually had a really great time making it. I think the first time in our career, we like really thoroughly enjoyed the process. And yeah, we're just so happy that it's finally coming. So we can worry about the next one.
Oh, man. Now, I've read that it does sort of talk to the last record with A Black Mile to the Surface. Like, is it a continuation of a story or what exactly? How do they speak to each other?
Definitely not. You know, it's a continuation of a thought that I think I'm just sort of becoming more and more obsessed with as a writer as I'm getting older, you know, which is just the impact of family and generational impact. You know, I've been describing it like, I guess, thematically, if Black Mile was sort of the idea of birth to parenthood and getting to that place in life, this is definitely sort of a from birth to death, cyclical sort of album. It was a record that we, as a band, really were all fathers on as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that last record was fictitiously took place in a town in South Dakota. So that doesn't really pop up on this album, but definitely the themes. I sort of continued on writing about them.
When you're thinking about that stuff, and I'm just going to go ahead and jump into the deep end on all of this.
Sure.
Where do you let yourselves daydream, especially about, you know, the afterlife part of this? Because, you know, we're looking at angels of death and everything else. I mean, where do you let yourself go with all of that?
Well, I mean, you know, the influence of it, you know, obviously came from Robert's dad that was, you know, coming towards the end of his life. And as kids growing up in church, we're told certain things about what the afterlife is and what the connection is with people who pass on. And I remember you were pretty vividly like going through and thinking about that stuff mm-hmm. and researching that stuff of like, man, what is this thing I've been told, you know, and what is it? And this beautiful... and can be tragic, but, you know, realization that we just don't know is a very enticing thing creatively, that like you can spend your whole life thinking that it's going to be this thing. But I have a feeling whatever it is going to surprise everyone, you know, even if that thing is nothing. So the wealth of creative big dreaming thoughts are sort of endless there, where, you know, you can kind of take yourself out, which is something on Black Mile we did, was kind of time travel as a narrator, but this one kind of felt like we could space travel as well. So yeah, the idea of this guy sort of riding around in this old drug-filled limousine from the 80s with the Angel of Death was just a nice pair of glasses to wear to get some of the initial ideas down, you know, of what that would look like.
So Robert, what about for you, for this to be such a personal message stemming from a point in your life, what is that then like hearing, you know, sort of this theme through someone else's words though?
Well, for me, I love it because it is something very close to me and it is something very painful to me, but it's also something that everyone will go through or has gone through, some sort of loss, some sort of grief. And I think as artists, as musicians, being able to make something that helps someone or changes their outlook is basically the goal, that or ego. But for us, it's like, we want to make something pure that can help people. So I hope that if it's one person, if it's 1,000 people, if it's 10,000 people, I hope it can help someone when they're feeling that moment, because I can pinpoint that moment and it's not great. So I hope it can heal.
I think you've said it before. I really love when you say it. It was just like, if if there can be any good thing that can come from this shitty thing, then we like have to search that thing out. And we're both really proud that the record, even though it has dark themes and is an emotional listen, you know, it does have, it carries with us a feeling of positivity and sort of a redemptive nature to it. So it feels good to put that out into the world, especially right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just the subject of grief and I'll say mental health. I mean, that couldn't be more timed because, you know, in the past handful of years, it seems like we finally have the lexicon and the openness from people more and more, even so in the music community. Do you all feel the sea change of that? Was that part of this at all?
I'm not sure if that was directly influenced to that thing, but of course we can feel the sea change of it. It's like, you know, we were a band on our earliest records, you know, critics would be like, they need to chill out. You know, it's like, I'm writing about like my fear of dying. I'm having panic attacks a lot. So it's nice to see artists that talk about that stuff and live in that area, not be judged as weak for that. But actually it's the opposite. It's you have to show a great amount of strength in order to sort of expose the wounds and, you know, how you're feeling. So that's an exciting thing, but I think we would have kept doing it either way, because we just really like, we like creating things that connect with us mm-hmm. before anything else. And so if we can get teary eyed listening back to a mix, or, you know, a piano thing gets added that gives us goosebumps and we start jumping up and down, it's like, that's the thing we're actually chasing.
There is, you were talking about writing tricks and techniques a minute ago with space travel and whatnot. And I was looking at Bedhead. So Bedhead's the first single. And, you know, from what I understand, this is sort of two perspectives here, you and maybe a friend. Mm-hmm. How do you keep that, like, you're taking another person's story as well? How do you keep that from being your own reflection and keeping that a separate, like, what's the writing trick there?
I don't think there is separation from it. I think the trick is you set up yourself a scenario and a narrative that you, that I can follow with a linear thought, and then I become the character of that thing. So yeah, that song came from a very vivid dream that my neighbor Matt, who's in his 50s and plays in a cool cover band, you know, told me about one night around the fireside, you know, at our house. And I said, can you write out that dream for me in vivid detail? And he did. He wrote me this super long 9-paragraph thing, and we were up at the cabin working on it, and I got this email, and it was like, man, okay, I sort of get, I get what this song needs to be about, and I also get how it connects largely to the rest of the album. So it's cool working on records for as long as we do. Something we really like is how the songs all start to, when you work on them long enough and give them enough room to breathe, they become each other. Mm-hmm. And so there's just points of reference throughout, and some intentional and some not. And Bedhead's one that now, I think when it came out, I finally like re-listened to it again. I'm like, oh wow, this says everything that the record sang.
You know? It's funny because I feel like sometimes the point of writing is just a vehicle to get the thoughts out. And then once you zoom out of it, because it's like most people aren't going to know that, so they're going to interpret the lyrics based on their vehicle.
Right.
And so it's exciting to just see what people are going to take this record as.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Because there's plenty of songs where I've been like, oh, this is about this, right? And you're like, no. And I'm like, well, I'm going to keep thinking it's about
exactly.
that.
I didn't even talk about what they're about.
But it works so seamlessly in this. I mean, musically, yes. And I want to get to that as well. But thematically, like to keep hold of this, to not let it go away, because it kind of works, you know, I'm going to say the words, as a rock opera in a way. I mean, that's how I hear it.
Yeah.
Was it strange going into a project thinking it was going to be something like that?
I think it was the most comfortable we've been dedicating ourselves to that thing. So Black Mile, we realized we wanted it to be that thing, but didn't know how to really make it that thing.
Or if we could.
So we didn't focus on it while we were doing it. It was almost an afterthought of like, we have to write another album in the middle of an album, so all these songs keep connecting mm-hmm. with each other. And we did that, and it worked really well. I'm really proud of how that album turned out. But this time we knew that we wanted it all to be focused in their connections. And so we left a ton of room to let those connections happen.
And we kind of grabbed threads as they would appear in the writing and the initial recording and the mixing, of just like, it plays out in front of us as well, but we just let it play out and then gather it all together.
A big part of that too is just not, you know, something Catherine was always big into that she got us into with Black Mile, which was just don't stop playing the song. If you're all, because we record the bass of all this stuff in a room live looking at each other. And so if there was a feeling that the song needed to go longer, or we wanted to jam, we would commit to that feeling and just do it instead of having a set end part. That ended up leading to so many cool transitions, you know, that we couldn't have imagined putting together afterwards. So just really allowing the record to be a living, breathing, evolving thing until it was finished was a cool feeling, a great feeling.
But and I brought up musically to make it so cohesive like that. Maybe I'm on the wrong track here, but like, how important does like keys become? You know, to like, are you writing inside of a box musically in a way to make sure it still works?
No, we get lucky. Like I'll just refer to Black Mile real fast. We didn't realize that the Alien, Sunshine and Grocery were in the same keys until weeks into being up at the cabin writing. And we were like, well, this is obvious now. Yeah, so like, it's,
oh my God, we have a 15 minute long song.
No,
it's going to work perfectly.
I don't think that same we're thing, like smart
the maze,
enough.
The yeah. Maze and the Gold ended up being in the same key. Like, well, how about that?
Luck. It was luck.
Works out really, really well.
There on this new record, there's certainly moments where we zhuzh that thing where it's like we could find the one note in one chord that then would be in another chord, and we could find a transition to have them feel, you know, like they're together. But again, that's just sort of a you keep working on it and they all start to sort of morph into each other.
I want to get to the end of the record here too, because it ends with this line. I think I got the line. I didn't have the lyrics in front of me, but all this time I thought I was right. Is that the line?
Yes, that is.
Like, that's a heavy line right there, because I'm thinking this is death. This is the end of the road for this person.
That's exactly right. Yes. Yeah.
Like, there's no real, I guess, the way I see this character, as we're talking about it like that, the reconciliation is there. The relief is not exactly there as you would the romantic idea of your last breath.
It's almost this beautiful idea of like, I liked the idea of, it's a very wordy album. There's a ton of words on this thing. And I also liked the idea of someone just spilling their guts about all these thoughts and opinions and beliefs. And then at the very end, having this notion of like seeing whatever that thing is, what we were just talking about before, and going like, I thought I was right. Like, I was nowhere close, you know, and this it's a double meaning in that sense. But I also really liked from the writer's perspective of just sort of an honest wink, nod, handshake, to hug to the audience, to be like, I don't really know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to figure out the same things you are. You know, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it is such a heavy moment. I mean, it's the what moment. Like, you know, if you were watching the movie, you know, I mean, this record is the movie. It's like, oh my God, I was so relieved when the media player started back over on the very first song. Right, that's afterwards, awesome. I was like, oh, there's another chance.
That's awesome. You just absolutely nailed the whole thing. Correct.
It's another chance. Do you guys foresee how this will be represented in the live show yet? I mean, is there going to be some grand...
Yeah, I mean, we're dreaming about it all the time. The idea of playing in front of people is really, really exciting. We write all this stuff as a, you know, I'll bring in the song or an idea of the song, and it becomes a thing with the four of us standing in a room. So it always has the truest representation live. And yeah, we gotta plan. If we can't do that in front of people, then we have to plan some insane show, you know, to do something cool. We're working on that too.
I look forward to seeing that. Andy, Robert, this is an amazing, a beautiful, and a powerful record. Thank you all so much for putting in the time on this one. And thanks for taking the time to talk about it.
That's absolutely. Just made Thank us you feel so great. Much.
Yeah. Not many people have heard it, so I'm still like, I get butterflies.
He likes it.
I love it. All right, y'all. Man. Take care. We'll see you around soon.
Thank you.
My thanks to Andy and Robert. The new Manchester Orchestra album is called The Million Masks of God. Thanks to you for checking out this episode again. Please do hit the subscribe button to keep up with all of the interviews that I put out every single week. Brand new ones every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcast, Acast, Podchaser, or YouTube, again, where you can find the video version of this interview and all the interviews as well. After that, head over to WFPK.org. Where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. Again, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of them is at Kyle Meredith. Also over on TikTok at KyleMeredith81. Hope you like and follow along. Make sure to say hi when you do. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.